when I preached in South Carolina that if Clemson and University of South Carolina, if they both lost, people were going to be kind of in a somber mood. So, you know, the one reason that we can all be in a good mood on Sunday is not because our team won, but it is because Jesus Christ won the everlasting victory over sin and death. That is the greatest cause of our joy on the Lord's Day. And in thinking about that, I remember when I was in college listening to my team on the radio, and they blew a play and they lost, and I remember hitting the dash of the car and cracking the vinyl. Now, it's not because that I am so strong. It's because I had a 1971 Plymouth Scamp that was just pretty old. However, I just, when I thought to myself, I am taking this way too seriously. The idea of anger and anger management is something that people are all familiar with. People are all familiar with the emotion of anger, which is the idea of really a fiery displeasure over something that I think is wrong or if I've been mistreated. But sometimes people do not treat it as the scourge that it is. If I was in Indiana, I don't think I could show this picture without some people getting angry at me. There's Bobby Knight throwing a chair. He was well known for his temper tantrums. He was fired from Indiana University for choking a player. Well, was the idea of his anger taken very seriously? Is that a bad thing? When he went to Texas Tech to welcome Bobby Knight, they had a chair-throwing contest in the parking lot of Kmart, and whoever threw the chair in the bullseye the closest got a free ticket on Southwest Airlines. You know, someone, you might suggest to someone that you need to deal with your temper. You might get angry that someone says that you need anger management. That's a picture of a young man at Virginia Tech University who killed 32 people. Because he is angry. He's mad at the world. Do not be eager in your heart to be angry, for anger resides in the heart of fools. And in the Bible, a fool is not someone who's intellectually dumb. It's someone who is insensitive to God and spiritual things, and they do not want to be guided by God's wisdom. The proverb writer, and we're going to talk about God's wisdom in anger management today, but the proverb writer talks a lot about anger. He says, a quick-tempered man acts foolishly. We do things that we regret. Anger, as we're going to define it, is fiery resentment over a perceived mistreatment. I've been treated unfairly. I've been treated unjustly. And it can also be just I'm frustrated. And you're blocking something that I want, I feel like I deserve. But anger is not something that we are born with that we cannot control. That's the good news of the Bible. That's the good news, particularly the book of Proverbs, that with God's wisdom, that we don't have to be a fool. We can be guided by wisdom. It can be managed with God's wisdom. Notice it says, he who is slow to anger has great understanding. You know, you never win by losing your cool. But he who is quick-tempered exalts folly. You fly off the handle, you're going to have a rough landing. We are commanded to have righteous anger like God, but not to let it fester into selfish anger. Now, this is something that is not, I don't see pointed out very often, but in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26, it says, be angry and do not sin. Now, notice that word, be angry. Does it say, if you're angry, don't let it sin? No, it says, be angry. And in the original, it is an imperative. Which means, like God, there are times we should be angry. God is always angry at evil. Jesus was angry at the Pharisees because of their hardness of heart. But it is a principled anger that is controlled. But do not sin. We can let righteous anger become selfish anger, self-absorbed, prideful anger. Instead of objective anger, I'm angry because God's will is violated. I become angry because I personally am hurt. I want to get back at someone who has hurt me. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. He's saying, don't let it fester. Don't let it get out of control. I think when Dee was here, he mentioned this verse, and he says, well, you have about 12 hours to be angry. You've got to process it. You've got to deal with it. And you can't let it fester. It becomes selfish. It becomes bitterness, and it becomes toxic. God's wisdom can heal our angry wounds so we can get emotional control. Whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. An angry person is a hurting person. Alexander the Great, who conquered the world, was a slave to anger. Clytus, who was his best friend, who saved his life, he killed him in a fit of anger. He lost control. He was a slave to his passions. How do we get the power to control anger? The proverb writer says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. It, trusting in the Lord, will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. And he means the inner man. When we have toxic anger bubbling inside, we talk about our blood boiling or popping our lid or popping our top. There's something going on the inside of us that's cooking, that's not pretty. He says, if you trust in the Lord with all your heart, that this will have healing for what's going on in the inside of you. We don't have to be angry, hurt, wounded people. Well, I want to look at the foolish corrosion of anger. We need to understand that anger handles everything badly. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 19. I'll turn over there and read that passage. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 19. A man of great anger shall bear the penalty, for if you rescue him, you will only have to do it again. He's saying a hot-headed person never learns. If a person doesn't learn how to get a handle on their anger, they're going to become an emotional volcano. And if you bail them out, that's not going to solve what's going on the inside. They need to understand that anger is corrosive, and it needs to be neutralized. It needs to be resolved. What are some of the things that cause this anger? We have to identify sources of anger. When I was talking about be angry and sin not, I'll give you an illustration. I remember when I was preaching at a congregation, and it was another congregation, where in teaching the high school class, they were not very well behaved. That's one thing I appreciate the kids here. They're well behaved kids. And that reflects on the parents, and I appreciate that. Because I know what it's like to be in a congregation when the kids are not well behaved. In teaching the class, cutting up, laughing, not paying attention. And I would get up and preach, and they would sit on the front, yet they would be talking and laughing and passing pictures and doing other things I won't mention that were bothersome. Well, I talked to them and the parents, and it got a little better, but not much. But one time I was preaching, and they were laughing and passing photographs all up and down the aisle, and I finally lost it. I got angry and lost control and nailed them. And got some parents mad at me and got them mad at me, and I should have kept control. And I wonder, where did that come from? We just think it's normal and natural. And me getting upset, is it righteous anger? What they're doing is disrespectful. Or does it bleed into, well, they're not respecting me. They're disrespecting me. You know, an angry person is an insecure person. And then I thought, you know, it dawned on me, and I was at that time in my early 40s, it dawned on me that comes from my dad. My dad was always angry and yelling about stuff, and my dad wasn't a Christian. And my dad had some good traits, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but the idea is that was just, I imbibed that kind of reaction. When people aren't behaving, you just get angry at it. So it's something that was an insight that was helpful that I needed to understand what the Bible teaches, as we all do, about how do we manage our anger. There's relational destruction that comes from anger. Scorners set a city aflame, but wise men turn away anger. Here's somebody that's angry at somebody, and they're going to burn their city down. Yeah, I'll show you. If you get angry at somebody, and you want to get, and you retaliate with anger and rage, it's like burning a house down to get rid of the rats. That's overkill. You know, getting angry at somebody is like drinking poison and hope they die. A scorner, someone who's angry, sets a city aflame, but wise men turn away anger. They know how to resolve it. When a foolish man has controversy with a foolish man, the foolish man either rages or laughs, and there is no rest. The foolish person doesn't know how to resolve anger. So you have destruction in relationships because of anger. Les Carter wrote a good book called The Anger Trap, How to Free Yourself from Frustrations That Sabotage Your Life. And when he would do workshops, he would ask the people in the workshops, he says, how many people grew up in an angry home? And he said 90% of them grew up in an angry home. How do you resolve problems? Well, you yell and scream at each other and everybody's upset at each other. And you almost unconsciously imbibe that is how you deal with relationships. So there's relational destruction. For the churning of milk produces butter, and the pressing nose brings forth blood, so the churning of anger produces strife. You have toxic families, anger in a husband-wife or a parent-child relationship. In the book Love Busters, Things That Destroy Romantic Love, Willard Harley wrote, it's a good book overall, some things I would, you know, fine-tune, but he said one of the love busters is outburst of anger. And you have to identify what's feeding that. It's a major turnoff, husband-wife relationship. And in the parent-child relationship, we realize that our children are watching us, how we react to different situations. One time I was supposed to meet somebody, and I was running a little bit late, and I was shaving. And I nicked myself. You know, I was going to meet another preacher, so I had to wear my preacher's uniform, you know. And so I nick myself, and I go out the door. I'm about ready to go out the door, and I got blood right there. And I go, ah, like that. And my daughter, Rachel, about 5 years old, was standing behind me watching me as I was shaving. And she goes, ah, like that too. We give our children a set of tapes of how to resolve different situations. And so we want to show them how God's wisdom in anger management. If anger is a cry for respect, you know, you're disrespecting me. Or, in Harley's book, he says that anger is a way that we use to punish others. You don't treat me the way I want to be treated, so I'm going to be angry and blow up, and I'm punishing you. We have to remember that we cannot control others' attitudes, nor can we coerce respect. We can only act respectfully with self-control to influence them. There's seething resentment against God. The foolishness of man ruins his way, and his heart rages against the Lord. And so anger can be directed toward God. Why did God let these things happen to me? And we become angry with God. If God let them have something good, why can't I have that? And we become resentful. And also it leads to a lack of self-control. A fool's anger is known at once, but a prudent man conceals dishonor. It's a lack of self-control. God calls us to be in control. And a lot of times people don't know how to have self-control. They indulge. They think it's good to ventilate. And no, it's not good to ventilate. You need to keep your temper because nobody wants it. Like a city that is broken into without walls is a man who has no control over his spirit. So an angry person who tries to deal with anger, put a lid on it by his own devices, is a ticking time bomb. Where then is the wise healing of anger? Wise men turn away anger. Where do we get the wisdom to deal with anger? Well, we obviously get it from God. I think it's very helpful. If you'll turn over to Proverbs chapter 3, which is one of the thesis statements of the book of Proverbs, what the book of Proverbs is about. It's about a father teaching his son about God's wisdom. How do you deal with anger? We need to have peace from exalting God and not self, and it will replace anger. Because chapter 3 He says, my son, do not forget my teaching, nor let your heart, but let your heart keep my commandments. In other words, I'm teaching you God's will. For length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. So you find peace. And then he says, do not let kindness, and that is how you treat other people, and truth leave you, bind them around your neck, and write them on the tablet of your heart. Get a drink here. So that you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. That is, you get along with people. Your relationship with God and man is good. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. That is how to deal with life. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Now, I mentioned at the beginning that he's saying that God's wisdom gives us peace. An angry person doesn't have inner peace. It gives you peace, and it helps your relationships because you have trusted in God, and it will give you inner healing. You know what is helpful to me is I believe any emotional problem that we have, and that can be anxiety, it can be depression, it can be jealousy, any kind of emotional problem or challenge that we have, the root of it is preoccupation with self. Because I'm looking at my belly button is what I'm doing. And what faith does is you need to look up at God. You need to become preoccupied with God. See things from God's perspective. Because if I'm angry, if you disrespect me, well, I'm really more concerned what God thinks of me. What you do or don't do doesn't take away from my self-esteem or my self-respect, because I know that God cares about me and loves me. And so instead of looking at a microscope at my little petty problems, I need to look at a telescope and come to know God. And when I come to know God, all these other little things that they don't really matter, I let God defend me. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and turmoil. And that turmoil can come from anger with it. So an angry person is a person that's preoccupied with self, and things aren't going the way they want to in their world. And so they need to turn their perspective to coming to know God, getting peace with God, exalting God and not concentrating on yourself. And that will replace anger. A fool always loses his temper, but a wise man holds it back. And the word there, holds it back, in the original means he will calm it down. And so when you find peace with God, you can find peace in your attitudes and in your relationships. You've got to be at peace with God before you can be at peace with yourself and with others. You see things not from your perspective, but you see things from God's perspective. And this comes from humility before God. The fear of the Lord is instruction in wisdom, and humility comes before honor. So to have wisdom and anger management, that I've got to respect God first instead of being concerned about myself first, and see myself that I exist for God. God doesn't exist for me, and I exist for God's greater purposes. And if I'm humble, God will protect me. God will lift me up. God will strengthen me. He'll give me honor. And also, drawing near to God dispels anger. Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Now, I'd like for you to turn, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 4. And this is Paul's anger management paragraph. If you'll turn there to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Now, notice what I want you to notice in context, how drawing near to God will dissolve your anger. He says in verse 22, in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. And that would include anger and malice toward other people, that I somehow think that I can force my way and achieve my ends.
that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. So he says, you put on Christ. That becomes the magnificent obsession in my life. In verse 26, notice in context, be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. So if I put on Christ, I'm not going to be an angry person. I'm not going to have my blood boiling. I'm not going to rehash how I've been hurt and injured by other people, because it'll give the devil an opportunity. And then if you go on in verse 31, let all bitterness, which is anger that has turned rancid, and wrath, and anger. Wrath is an outburst, flying off the handle. Lack of self-control. Anger is a settled grudge. Clamor is shouting or screaming. And slander, that's retaliating. I'm going to say something bad to cut this person down because they hurt me. Be put away from you with all malice. That's ill will toward another person. What do you replace it with in verse 32? Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. So if you follow that process of putting on Christ, being angry at the right things at the right time, and not being angry about the wrong things in the wrong way, righteous anger versus selfish anger, and then I put off these nasty attitudes and I put on a Christ-like demeanor, then that will dissolve anger. It'll dispel it. We also have to discern between major sins, that is righteous anger, and minor personal offenses, which is selfish anger. A man's insight makes him slow to anger. Notice it didn't say he never gets angry. It makes him slow to anger. There's principled anger that if something is wrong, it needs to be corrected. But we do it in a principled, controlled way. And it is his glory to overlook a transgression, some kind of slight. One time that we had a young man work with us in the summertime, and his peer group, they like to call each other jerks for some reason. That was kind of some term they would use. I suppose it was a term of endearment. But when he started calling me a jerk, I did not take it that way. And I said, the first time he said it, I just let it go. Okay. The second time he called me a jerk, I had to tell the young man, you don't call your supervisor a jerk, okay? That's not a good term. And I was able to kind of hold it in and not bite his head off. And the idea is, well, you try to be controlled. And if it's just a passing thing or, you know, a slight, don't worry about it. You want to teach a person a lesson. You want to do it in the right way. Refuse angry people or upsetting situations. You know, it's like if you were to watch a program on TV or whatever, and it upset you and made you angry, you know how you resolve that is, well, don't watch it, okay? Do not associate with a man given to anger, or go with a hot-tempered man, or you will learn his ways and find a snare for yourself. And that's one of the problems with the media. Is how do they resolve problems? Well, people get angry, they lose control, and they shoot and kill each other. They get angry and they use violence. And you have to realize, does any of that have an influence on me? You know, I have to be careful. The TV or the media teaches values. Is it teaching that it's okay to do these things that the Bible says is wrong? I need to limit what I watch and what I put into my brain. And also, I need to be careful about the people that I associate with. Stay away from angry people. Now, if we grew up in a toxic home where you had dysfunctional ways of dealing with problems, you're going to have to disassociate yourself from that and consciously say, I choose not to yell and scream or to become angry or selfish or retaliate or use emotional manipulation to get my way. All those things are toxic. You've got to make a conscious disassociation from that. And at the same time, if you refuse angry people or upsetting situations, that means you need to, a corollary is you spend time with people who handle anger
in a good way. And that'll stick with you. I remember when I was growing up in Murfreesboro, we went to a walking horse show there in Shelbyville, Tennessee. And I was in high school, and there was these kids, they were heckling us. And I don't know why they were heckling us, but they were. And they were throwing things at us. And I remember Ben Bunning sitting next to me, and this guy threw a dirt wad right there that went right into his glasses right there. And I just remember him just very calmly taking it and just dropping it like didn't bother him. And I just kind of went, wow. You know, I didn't know if I could do that or not. So disassociate with people who are angry, and then associate with people that show you how to deal, how to have a calming influence. Like, you remember the example of Jesus. He's our example. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return, but he entrusted himself to him who judges righteously. So if Jesus on the cross, when he's being tortured with nails through his body, was not angry and didn't lose self-control, if I associate with Christ, if I walk with Christ, I can learn that. And I have to plan a constructive response to anger. The fury of a king is like messengers of death. You think, if the king is mad, I'm done if I'm in trouble. But a wise man will appease or pacify it. God's wisdom gives us a thoughtful plan in how I can counteract angry circumstances. It's a matter of thinking. When we blow up or lose self-control or get angry, did I plan this response or did it just happen? Sometimes we'll say if we pop off, we say, I got caught off guard. And that's kind of like when you go down into a cellar and the rats are scurrying about, you know, you caught them off guard. You know, we think that, I needed time to kind of gather myself to be more controlled. Well, the emotion that came out was already there. I was just trying to hide it. Like the rats, when you turn the light on, they're going to hide. So that is, I need to think how I respond. My response is a result of thinking, how do I want to respond instead of just reacting? Knee-jerk reaction. And then I need to remember calming words diffuse anger. This is a great practical verse from Proverbs. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Husband-wife relationship, parent-child relationship, or any other kind of relationship, anger doesn't handle anything well. And if you escalate your voice or your anger, it doesn't resolve anything. It simply injures the relationship. It's like pouring gasoline on a fire, and it just gets worse and worse. So I have to purposely choose a soft answer that turns away wrath. And usually it's the idea of taking responsibility. If I've injured you, if I've been disrespectful, I want you to know that I'm sorry. And just say it very calmly and very softly. You think soft words are weak? An angry person thinks they've got to defend their honor or their self-respect. Proverbs 25 says, a soft word breaks the bone. The right word at the right time in the right way can make lasting impact. So I need to think about different situations and about a soft answer turns away wrath. And then love will dissolve anger. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. So if I draw closer to God, I have peace with God. And that helps me to have peace with myself and heals these angry wounds that I may have. And if I'm thoughtful in how I respond, and then I want to develop love. It is, I believe, impossible to be angry with somebody long term if you genuinely love them. Love covers, it protects all offenses. Bible tells us that love is patient and love is kind. Love is not soon angry. Love does not take into account a wrong suffered. Love believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And the best way to learn love is to contemplate, how much love has God had for me? Have I done plenty of things to make God angry? I have sinned repeatedly, and you have too. And God's judicial anger burns against that, and it deserves to be punished. But it was poured out on Jesus Christ on the cross. And that great love is our only hope. Love heals the person who receives it and the person who gives it as well. I need to develop a closer relationship with God so I can learn His love. And I can dissolve whatever anger I may have toward another person. So what we allow to anger us will control us, and it will eventually destroy us. Proverbs gives us anger management. We need to take it seriously so we don't destroy others or ourselves. God's wisdom can heal us from toxic anger. He who is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is quick-tempered exalts folly. So which camp are you in today? Are you in God's camp that wisely deals with situations that incite anger? Are you in the fool's camp that you're trying to resolve these hurts and disrespect in your own way? The choice is yours. How we respond to anger is a series of choices. And you have a choice if you let God take over and surrender your emotional life to God and believe in Christ and repent of your sins and be baptized into Christ, the Lord will bless you and be with you. And we ask you to come while we stand and sing.